okay to be tired. We've actually been working. I don't know if you knew this or not. When we talk about worship, it is known as the work of the people. That's what you're doing. You're gathered together to engage God, and it's work, right? The whole idea of the word liturgy, the church is full of fancy church words. Have you noticed that? Like, what's that space out there called? It's called a... Right. Some of y'all know that, and some of you are like, what? It's a SpaceX? No, that's not it. But somebody really got that joke. Thank you very much. Liturgy is the work of the people. And, you know, work leads you to be tired. I don't know if you're feeling tired today or not. I hope that you'll actually have a chance to rest and kind of do some things that are relaxing to you or kind of like keep you going. That's kind of the whole point of rest. My daughters are in town, and so there is no rest for me. They're sitting right there, both of them. And now they're flushed, you know. It's so cute. Fatigue is part of a huge part of our life experience. You might be fighting it off all the time, but there is evidence to suggest that there are a lot of people walking around just exhausted, without enough sleep, without enough physical activity to kind of like allow the body to rest. And it's so common that depending on the way that you look at it, as many as 45% of the people around us are at a place of having notable signs of fatigue, of working towards exhaustion or living in exhaustion. And with that comes some other things. Let me kind of read a list for you real quick. With that exhaustion, with that fatigue comes things like depression and a lack of desire to do the activities once enjoyed, or trouble concentrating or focusing. What were we talking about? Low energy, very low energy and motivation, nervousness, anxiety, and irritability, muscle pain, and weakness are part of that list. Or as some of you may call it, Thursday. Or Tuesday morning. Definitely Monday, right? Monday about 8 o'clock or so. Oh, goodness gracious. So, fatigue's an issue. And fatigue grinds on us. And it's not just an American thing or a 21st century thing. This has been something that we've just accelerated in, but it has been a constant issue. So much so that the Lord says very early on in this relationship, you need to rest. There's the model of rest in the creation story. There's the modeling of rest in terms of what is required of human beings. You'll work 6 days, on the seventh day, you'll knock it off. The Lord did that, right? That's the creation story. So it's built into, hey, you need to take care of yourself. Let me command you. If some of y'all are familiar with the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, the Pac Ten, it's something like that. That was a football joke. I don't know if y'all got that. part of the Ten Commandments, like, you need to take a Sabbath. You need to rest. Now, Jesus is with his disciples in the story that was just read. Great job reading, by the way. Jesus is with his disciples, and they are moving through a field of wheat, and they're hungry, and so they start eating the wheat heads. Anybody ever do that? It's not the buffet at the Golden Corral. it'll take care of you. And it's not like they're stealing. It's a common practice for people to go through and glean like that. The farmer is not going to, lose out too much by a few guys kind of coming through and eating in that way. But there they are, and they're eating, and it's a Sabbath. And, their Sabbath was understood to be on Fridays. Christians kind of like park that on Sundays. Some of us park it on Saturdays. It really kind of depends on a lot of different dynamics. There's different understandings of what's going on. We don't have time to go into all that. For them, it was, the Jewish Sabbath. And so here come the Pharisees. By the way, we give the Pharisees an awfully hard time. We really do. Because these are people that are trying their best to love Jesus. Maybe not love Jesus, but certainly to love God. Okay? They're trying their best to be faithful to what they understand to be the law of God and the way that you're supposed to do that. And they're kind of like the sort of semi-official arbiters of the law. This is the law. This is how we're going to interpret it and live it out. And so they see Jesus doing all kinds of things. By the way, if you look ahead, or if you look back in the chapter that we just heard a little kind of part of that, but if you look at the entire thing, Jesus is just messing up Sabbath all over the place. There is a lot of things that are happening, mostly healing. He's taking care of people on the Sabbath, and boy, they don't like that. This is early in the gospel, too, but he's already like ticking people off about this Sabbath thing, and he's in a dialogue with them about it. And so here are his boys moving through the field, having their snack. Their, granola bars would be, preferable, okay? And I mean those really kind of nasty granola bars you get at Trader Joe's, I love Trader Joe's. I am not taking on Trader Joe's in this conversation, but some granola bars are better than others. Can I say that? But nothing's like the heads of those, it's like, they're moving through, they're taking care of their bodily needs because they're men and they're hungry. And the Pharisees, as has been their custom for several verses, are freaked out. Why are you letting Jesus? Why would you let them break the Sabbath like this? I mean, this is basic stuff. Didn't you go to, Jew school? This is fundamental to who we are and how we live and what we say about our life as followers of God. By the way, there was a Jew school. It was a very long tradition of how do we be faithful. So that's not an incitement of Jewish folks. And what does Jesus do? Jesus, he listens to him, and he responds with, "Do you not know our story?" He says, remember what David did. Okay, remember who David is. David, is that beloved king who in our scriptures it says that, David was a man after my own heart, God would say about David. And in this particular place, he is remembering a passage where David is engaged in battle, and he has his men with him, and he is famished, so much so that he enters into, the holy space and starts to eat the bread that is there and reserved only for the priest. Okay? So a little bit different sort of religious structure than what we currently have, but you gotta know this was a huge thing. No, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. And Jesus says, I want you to You got to understand this. You got to understand this from a very different way. Here is a faithful person who is in love with God, but enters into that and is taking care of a human need, which is hunger, right? Any of y'all ever be hungry in here? Of course, right? But then there are, you know, those times that you're famished, you know, and you could eat the bark off a tree. Well, I'm a guy. I sometimes have done that. My girls can attend. I'm not eating bark off the tree, but been so hungry, right? So here is Jesus saying, understand that the Sabbath was not put in our lives just to force us to do things. That the Sabbath actually is a gift. The Sabbath, as it is given to you, is something to allow for your human needs to be met, but not something to be forced upon you just to kind of like keep you in line. Why do we follow rules anyway? I mean, Jesus is not, this isn't a reactive kind of thing that he is doing with them. He is not a kid who has been caught doing something he shouldn't do, and he turns around and goes, well, I'll do whatever I want to do. No, he's saying, remember what this is given to you for. And if it is given to you for this, of course it's permissible. It's, of course these boys could take care of their bodies. We get so wrapped up into what we should and shouldn't do, and we forget the spirit of it. We can imitate the form of it. Oh, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do this. And boy, are there a lot of rules about that. But we struggle with those. In this country, we used to have blue laws. Remember blue laws? When I was a kid, I thought, well, that means everybody wears blue, you know. But no, it was like, you're not going to the grocery store for sure on Sunday. You might find a hospital that's open. But then, you know, what do you do with a hospital, right? What do you do with ships at sea? What do you do with moms, with kids, or dads, with kids, right? They're working, and they're looking after the fundamental needs. So there's some things you can do and some things you can't do. That's great. But do we find ourselves moving outside of what the intent of it was in the first place, which was to take care of human life, the very body that you have? Did you know that there are certain biological functions, many of them related to digestion, that will not commence unless you're resting, unless the body is kind of like, you know, calm and chill, and it releases the ability to kind of work through those things, or, I won't go into or, but it just doesn't work as well, okay, it just does not do the thing, and God knows that. So there is two things that I want to say to you. And Jesus kind of says this when he says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, which is an interesting phrase. But he says, the Sabbath is real, but it was given for your good, not to keep you from taking care of yourself. If they had not eaten, they would have gone hungry. Wait, what do you do? Do you wait till the next day? Do you let your body get famished? Do you let your energy levels go down? What if you're attacked? What if you have an emergency? The principle of rest is huge. And here we are on the day before, well, the day of, we're supposed to rest. Every Sunday is a day that we're invited to take a Sabbath experience. Although, honestly, I'm working right now. Oh, I hear you. Some of you are like, no, he's not. Doesn't look like work to me, I tell you that. No. But we are given this invitation because we need it. My Sabbath day is Friday. And, you know, there's scripture in the book of Hebrews. Let me kind of make sure I'm telling you the right thing. In the book of Hebrews, there's this wonderful passage, Hebrews 4:9, which says basically this is a rest that needs to happen within our heart. Not necessarily, you know, what kind of work we can or cannot do, but there is a need for rest provided by Christ that is spiritual more than temporal. So we are asked to find ways to allow for our body, our minds, our spirits to do those things that they need to do out of love. I made you. I want you to take care of yourself. The college students in here will tell you naps are good, right? Yeah. But when they were little girls, they would resist a nap. Like, I'm not sleepy. I'm just fine. No, leave me alone. And then they'd take a nap and they'd be much more pleasant people, right? And now they know. This rest is important for you. But how you find it is going to be within our time and our life a much more complicated thing and something that we'll have to negotiate. Me, it's Fridays, and sometimes I blow it. I wind up working or I wind up doing this. For you, it might be Thursday afternoon. Bishop Pennell, Joe Pennell was a bishop here in the Virginia Annual Conference. He would say, I'm a much better pastor if I go golfing on Wednesday afternoon. And he meant it. I'm a much better person if I do that. So as complicated as I've tried to make this, and not just so simple about you can do this by calendar, my advice and invitation to you, the homework that I would like for you to take from this place, is find that place where you can rest and where you can center yourself. I think you'll find God there. I encourage you to find God there. That's work, by the way, Colin. We need to do this. And it's a holy thing. A prayer for Sabbath from a Jewish rabbi goes like this. Let me learn to pause. If only for this day, let me enter into a quiet world this day. So find that, and God will be there. And I invite you to this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.